I just want to talk about and look at the Word of God in these three things. Tonight is definitely for us as believers. It's for us. I want to challenge you. Challenge you specifically tonight, and I'm going to look at those. There was something else that I wanted to preach on as I was going through my devotions. One verse that really hit home, and it was in the book of John, and it was where John had come through, and they were talking to him about the Lord Jesus Christ, and John says, "He must increase, but I must decrease." Lord willing, we're going to look at that on Wednesday night out at the church by camp out. Great thought that John has as John's disciples are talking to him, and then as he's talking about the Lord Jesus Christ. And do we have that mindset, that attitude, that Christ must increase in our life? And I myself, my ambitions, my wants, my desires, my priorities, my everything must decrease. And I'd like to look at that a little bit on Wednesday night at the church by camp out. What an impact that can make on any of us, no matter how spiritually mature or immature we are. That one concept that Christ must constantly have more and more priority, more and more first place, more and more increasing in all of my heart, all of my mindset of my life. And do we really want that? It's one thing to say it, but do we really want that? Now I want to bring that out. All right, let's pray, and then I'll give you the three simple words tonight that I want to look at and see if we have it. Father, I ask that you would help tonight. As we open the Word of God and we look at pretty much three simple truths is basically what it is, and see how these three things can and should have an impact on our life. Father, I ask that you would give me wisdom. Please give me strength. Once again, Father, I ask that you would hide me behind the cross. May the Lord Jesus Christ be lifted up and glorified tonight. May these people see the truths of the Word of God tonight. It's not about me. It's all about you. It's all about the truth of the Word of God and the impact it should have on our life. Father, help us to do, even right now, before the message is even given, an evaluation of our life, where we're at before a holy God. Father, where we ought to be before you. And Father, what it is that we need to do in order to get our life back on track, back right with you. Father, we realize that your return is soon coming. One day we're going to stand before you, give account of everything that we have done. Father, I ask that we would have before us not the wood, hay, and stubble, but those gold, silver, and precious stones. Have much to cast at your feet. You are truly worthy of it. In Jesus' name, amen. Three simple words tonight. One that I would like to talk about is character. Character. You think about that. Matter of fact, as I was growing up, I was involved in a program called ATIA. It was a homeschool program, and in that homeschooling program, what we had to learn was character qualities. There was probably some 60 some character qualities that we needed to know. What the character quality was, the definition of it, and how it worked out. Well, tonight, though, I don't necessarily want to talk about character qualities, but the word character itself. You see, character, if I could define character, character defined is what God knows us to be. What God knows you to be. Or who and what we are in God's eyes. Who or what we are in God's eyes. You see, we all have characteristics about us. Every single one of you, you are known by certain things. Matter of fact, in my house, I often forget people's names. So, in order to for my wife to know who I'm talking about, I say, well, this person does such and such, and they do this and they work at, And then finally she comes and she goes, okay, it's so and so. It's almost like charades that we play. That's just because I'm not very good with names. But if I were to stand and I were to take Ken Curry and bring him up here today, you all know him for certain things. You know he's the donut man. If you've ever smelled his coat, his brown coat that he always wore around, I could close my eyes, and if Ken Curry were to walk past me, just the smell of his coat, I would know who it is. It's Ken Curry. Many of you know him. He's the one that has driven the bus here at Loomis for a long time. He's picked up a lot of people, and now he drives the bus and he picks up the kids. What a blessing. Brother Curry does a lot of the maintenance around here on Mondays and Tuesdays. He often comes and fixes a lot of things. Those are characteristics about Brother Curry. Those are things that we know. But if I were to have Brother Curry come up here and I were to say, God, what do you know about Brother Curry? What God would say about Brother Curry is his character. Whether good character or bad character, what he is known before God, that is his character. Every single one that knows Jesus Christ as their own personal Savior here tonight, you are known yourself before God for something. What are you known for? How does God know Wally Reisinger? How does God know June DeCamp? How does God know Earl Wedge? How does God know, and I could go through, Tommy Gilbert, Mark Meyer, Zachary. How does God know Zach? How does God know Brianna? How does God know, and I could go through and list all the way down to little ones, what would God say about Angie Becker? What would God say about Mia Joy Loggins? What would God say about Maddie Loggins or Colin Epperly? What would God say about you? If he could stand here today and you were standing here and God were to come alongside, what would your character be? What would your character be? What would God know you to be? I went through as I thought about that. Do you realize in the Bible that God does say several things about certain people? God has several specific things that he talks about certain people. Go with me to Job. You know this one. Very, very, very famous one. Job chapter 1. Some people have good things that God says about them. Some people, God has very little good to say about them. But in Job chapter 1, if I can find it, Job chapter 1, God has something interesting to say about Job. Job chapter 1, verse number 8, actually start in verse 7, it says, "And the Lord said unto Satan, whence comest thou? Then Satan answered the Lord and said, from going to and fro in the earth, and from walking up and down in it. And the Lord said unto Satan, hast thou considered my servant Job?" And this is what the character of Job is, according to God. "That there is none like him in the earth, a perfect and an upright man, one that feareth God and escheweth evil." Wow, what a character Job had. Wow, what a character that Job had. Question is do you have that kind of character? Could that be said of Jack Miller? Could it? Could it be said of you, Brother Merrill? Could it be said of, and I can go through all of it, could I put my name there? Could God say, "Hast thou considered my servant Jonathan Loggins, that there is none like him in the earth, a perfect man?" That's what we should be striving for. You see, God knows all about us. In the teen classes last year, even in discipleship, we were talking about it, how that God knows us intimately. There's nothing about us that God doesn't know. Matter of fact, we talked about Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, rightly dividing soul and spirit, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. God knows not only you, but why it is that you're thinking what you're thinking. What was your motive behind thinking that? Go with me to 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. I love this verse. 1 Chronicles chapter 28. We brought this up. It's a very, very powerful, powerful verse. 1 Chronicles 28, verse number 9. David's the one talking. How ironic that he's the one that's talking when David himself had good character. Had good character. But 1 Chronicles 28, 9 says, "And thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart and with a willing mind." Why? "For the Lord searcheth all hearts, and understandeth all the imaginations of the thoughts. If thou seek him, he will be found of thee. But if thou forsake him, he will cast thee off forever." That verse right there says that God knows our heart intimately. And he knows even the imaginations of our mind. What we are thinking, God knows it. We can hide from a lot of people. We can put a lot of faces on. We can put a lot of facades on. Now, I have known people that have sat in pews just like you do tonight. And tonight they're far from God. They were one thing when they lived in church, and they were a complete different thing. I reminded the teens not that long ago, we had two guys at Maranatha. One guy's name was Joe Zammit, and the other guy's name, I believe, was Jake. Both of these guys were extremely dynamic in their preaching. I mean, they were known at Maranatha that you could walk across the lawn at Maranatha and hear blaring preaching coming out of their rooms. They would turn the volume up on their speaker so loud that if you were in their room, you would almost go deaf. And they would hear preaching, just constant preaching. And they would preach one to another, and they would memorize scripture. Hearing preaching is a good thing. Memorizing scripture is a great thing. Matter of fact, the one guy, Joe Zammit, he could quote to you Psalm 119. The whole thing, all at once. He could just verbatim quote it. I heard him do it. Guess what? Neither one of those two guys today are anywhere close to the Lord. All that they did, they walked around Maranatha, I hate to say it, like Pharisees, with their chest puffed out, and look what I can do. Look who I know. Look who has signed my Bible. Look at who I've listened to, and I've heard all the greats, and I know all this stuff, and I've got a lot of head knowledge. But guess what? Their character before God was nothing. If you would have looked at them, you would have saw it, you would have said, man, they are a mighty Christian. You know, they were the first ones to go out soul winning on Saturday. They were the first ones to volunteer to preach in your church. And believe me, they did. They preached in a lot of churches. But when it came to their own personal character, what God knew about them, eventually it showed out in their life. It really did. It showed out in a tremendous way. And neither one of those guys today are doing anything from the Lord. Matter of fact, their testimony is shot, and they're a disgrace. Another one that had great character, and you wouldn't think of it, was Abel. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11 real quick. Hebrews chapter 11. I need to hustle. My time is going quickly. Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4. This is what God had to say about Abel. It says, Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 4, it says, "By faith Abel offered unto God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, by which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and by it he being dead yet speaking." Abel's character was that he was righteous. Abel's character was the gift that he gave. As he gave it before God, he was right and clean. It was the right gift to be offered. God knew his heart. God knew his mind, and therefore the gift that he gave, that offering that he presented to God was acceptable. And guess what? He got put in God's hall of faith. He had the character that he himself was righteous before God. Do we have that kind of character? Is that said of us? I could go to others. I had a whole bunch. Write down Jeremiah 17:10. That's a great verse to write down. Write down, you're there in Hebrews, write down Hebrews 4:12. Another one that constantly comes to my mind, and I've quoted this to the teens many times in regards to that we are known before God, is the one in Genesis chapter 16, verse number 13, where Hagar has left. She's fleeing from Abraham and all that. She finally comes to a certain place, and Hagar gives this quote, and the quote is, "Thou God seest me. Thou God seest me." Hagar could run as long and as far and wherever she wanted, but guess what? God knew her. God knew her, and God knew her intimately. God knew her heart. We can run. We can run and we can hide and we can do a lot of things. But guess what? God always knows us. God knows us. God knows all about us. We can put on a lot of fakes and a lot of facades, but God knows us. Second one. So first of all, character. Do you have it? Second is reputation. Reputation. If I could define reputation, it would be this. What other people say or think about you based upon their own observation. All right? Now, reputation, unlike character, where it's character is what God knows us to be, reputation is what other people say about us or think about us. Our reputation, I could live right and be right, and you could think bad things about me. Does that make sense? Christ had that happen. Matter of fact, it was said of Christ that he sat and he ate and he drank with winebibbers and with publicans and sinners. For Christ, among certain people, his reputation was awful. But guess what? If you know anything about Christ and the life of Christ, Philippians 2:7 says he took upon him no what? Reputation. He wanted to have the mindset or the heart mindset of a servant. He really didn't care what other people thought of him. He knew that he had to do the will of his heavenly Father, and it really didn't matter what other people said. It really didn't matter what other people thought. He was going to do right. Of course, you say, well, Pastor John, he's the Son of God. But he really didn't care. You see, reputation can be a good thing or a bad thing. Can be a good thing or a bad thing. One, what matters the most is that I do right. If I do right, guess who knows? God does. And ultimately, who's the judge of what I do? God is. God is. But there are certain people in Scripture that had a great reputation. Daniel chapter 5. Go with me to Daniel chapter 5 real quick. A great reputation. Verse number 10. As you know, this chapter, Nebuchadnezzar is off the scene now. And King Belshazzar is now the king. And Daniel has been forgotten about. But Daniel's reputation that he had in Babylon was so strong that this is what is said. Verse number 10, it says, "Now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house, and the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance or your attitude be changed. There is a man in thy kingdom, in whom is the spirit of the holy gods." This is Daniel, of course. "And in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods, was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father, made master of the magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and soothsayers, forasmuch as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding, interpreting of dreams and showing of hard sentences and dissolving of doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king named Belshazzar." Now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. And it goes on all the way down to 16, and guess what? Daniel's reputation in a pagan, in an ungodly country, was impeccable. Impeccable. You could go on in verse number 6, in chapter 6, verses 3 and 4, it goes on and it gives even great things. Verse number 4 especially, it says, then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion or a fault against Daniel concerning the kingdom. But they could not find none occasion nor fault, for as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Wow, what a reputation. Wow, what a reputation. Do you have that kind of a reputation? Where you work, what do the people say about you? What do they say about you? What do your neighbors say about you? What do your friends say about you? What do your parents say about you? A reputation, like I say, it's a good thing or a bad thing. It can be true or false. But there were certain people in the Bible that had a bad reputation. We don't have time, but in Acts chapter 1, verses 17 through 20, Judas had a bad reputation. So much so, so where the money that he had bought Christ for, they used that to buy a piece of land. And to this very day, and it's still that way, that piece of land is only used for burying those that have no burial plot in Israel. It's a burial place for the bums, is basically what it is. It is taboo. Nobody wants to live where Judas bought that piece of land. He had a reputation for betraying Christ. I could go on others. Abraham. Abraham had the reputation that he was a what? Friend of God. Friend of God. David. David had the reputation that he was the apple of what? God's eye. What a tremendous reputation that these people had. Last one. Third one. Testimony. A testimony. A testimony. It's a report to or before man of what God has done in our lives. It is also what someone witnesses or sees in another person's life. Go with me to Hebrews. Last passage of scripture I want you to go to. Hebrews chapter 5. No, Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 5. It says this. By faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. What an awesome testimony. What an awesome testimony. That Enoch pleased God. So much was Enoch's testimony before the people there and before the men that you're talking about, the early stages of mankind's history, his testimony they had before mankind there, and then his walk with God himself was so incredible that God took him. God took him. And his testimony was that he pleased God. I think it's neat, some of the other testimonies that are written in the pages of Scripture. Write these down. Verse number 39 and 40 of Hebrews 11. But then also, Paul's testimony was incredible as well. Paul says, I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have, what? Kept the faith. That's a tremendous testimony. Do you have that kind of a testimony? You realize our testimony can also be ruined. Our testimony can also be ruined. One thing that Satan seeks to do once a person knows Christ as their own personal Savior, he realizes he can't take away your salvation. Your salvation is secure. But the one thing he can take, or the one thing that he can destroy, is your testimony. He would love nothing better than to destroy it. That's what we find in Job. God told Satan, look, he was perfect and he's upright, he's righteous, and Satan says, no. The only reason why he is that way is because you're so good to him. Job's character, God, is what Satan was saying. Job's character, God, is not that good. Just try him a little and see what kind of a person he really is. Guess what? The best way to know your character is to go through trials. Go through hardships. Go through difficulties. Go through what God calls the refining fire. And as we go through it, and we go through all that heat, all that pressure of that trial, guess what it shows? The real you. The real you. Whether or not you really do have character, or you're a fake. You're a facade. And I tell you what, your testimony before the world, your testimony before your people that you work with, your testimony even here at Loomis Park Baptist Church is important. You should have a testimony that not only is impeccable, but you should also have a testimony that you are constantly, part of a whole testimony is a witness. Is a witness before everybody else. You are basically telling something, you're telling others something about your God. What is it that you're telling others about your God? Is your God really that big? To glorify means to make big. To show it, to magnify it, to make it large. How big is your God? The people around you should be able to tell how big your God is. The people around you should constantly hearing about how good God is in your life. They should be constantly hearing about what God is doing for you or what you are doing for God and how God has affected your life. Your salvation, is it really that important? That you're on your way to heaven, is it that big of a deal? Or is it, so-so? All of that is based upon that one word, testimony. We should have a tremendous testimony. Those three words tonight was basically what I wanted to challenge you with. Character, what God knows you to be. Your reputation. Now, out of all three of those things, your reputation, mankind can know you as one thing, but it really matters what God knows you to be. That's true. And that's very, very true. But our testimony is what we are living out in this world, what we are living out before others in regards to our God. How important is he to you? If all you have to talk about is family, sports, recreation, and entertainment, then guess what? What you're telling others is that your faith is really not that important. It's really not that big. God really doesn't matter that much to you. But if all that comes out of your mouth is how good God has been to you, what he has done for you, what you are wanting to do for God, and how important your God is to you, then guess what? You are being a witness before the people that your God is really what matters the most in your life. Do you have it? Do you have character? What's your reputation like? And your testimony? How important your testimony is? Let's pray.